The governor is playing games with the budget. Why it matters to you.
All right, Representative, I want to start right off with a comment that you made in the budget hearings earlier today, and that was that we want to be able to plan and plan effectively. That was something you said to the Secretary of the Budget. What did you mean by that, and what was his response?
Yeah, so it's constitutionally mandated and mandated by statute that the administration put forward a proposed budget that includes projections. So not just this year's budget, but what are they projecting the budget to do down the road? The proposed projections have not been done correctly. They've basically just set them at a half a point percentage higher, 0.78 over the next 4 years, which is ludicrous when you consider where the budgets have been the last number of years. This budget alone is projected to be about 5.6% over where it was last year. And why all of this matters, we got into technical details and projections and budgeting. Why it matters is because this governor wants to put himself out there as a fiscal conservative. He wants to say that by 2030, we're going to have money saved away for the rainy day fund. But what he's doing is he's using these phony projections. What it's not showing is that the rainy day fund, if we keep going the way we're going, is going to be depleted within a year or two. And what's that really mean for taxpayers of Pennsylvania? It means we're either going to have to cut services or we're going to have to raise taxes. I am not a fan of raising taxes. I won't vote for it. So what we got to do now is be fiscally responsible. And we have to understand that we are heading towards a fiscal cliff. And these phony budget projections might say one thing, but it's just not reality.
One thing we heard the budget secretary say a number of times, and other secretaries too, that the impact from HR 1 at the federal level is what is causing the increase in the budget. Is that true?
No. There's all kinds of implications of HR 1. And some of it increases funding, some of it decreases funding. The federal government did sweeping reforms, good reforms, as it relates to benefit integrity and other matters across the board. The administration knows and can project where things are going to go now. HR 1 was passed this past summer. Things are being implemented. They have an understanding of what's happening. That's also a phony excuse by the administration. The Department of Education secretary, even going beyond the Department of Health, the Department of Education secretary said that we're going to need hundreds of millions of more dollars in years to come to fulfill the court order that came down regarding education. Now, we can talk about what that court order means, but when the actual department head is saying, no, we're going to need more money, and then you ask her about what's going on with these projections then, does that include this more money that you want? Her answer was, talk to the budget secretary. So basically, we have a budget secretary that's playing games, playing politics with these projections so that the constituents of the Commonwealth are fooled into believing that we are going to be in a fiscally sound position. We're not. And that's why we're sounding the alarm on it now.
And the only reason the rainy day fund isn't empty now is because Republicans prevented Governor Shapiro from draining it last year, correct?
That is correct. Not just last year, but years past. And Governor Wolf also tried draining it as well. Republicans have been holding the line on this, and it has implications across the board and very technical matters regarding finance and borrowing and our ability to have low interest rates. Having that rainy day fund matters. But at the very least, what we need to do is be honest with our constituents. We need to be honest with the Commonwealth. I always say the public fisc is a public trust. And if we're not showing accurate numbers and accurate projections, we're trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. So I want to get the word out, and others within our caucus do, that we're heading towards a financial crunch. And that financial crunch could be a very painful crunch if we don't get our fiscal house in order now.
Safety was a big overarching issue in the final week of the budget hearings. We had the state police in today, or in earlier this week. You had a little talk with them about staffing levels. So what'd you find out?
Yeah, so I was encouraged to hear that more people are applying to become a state police officer. It's a great professional. The troopers are very professional, rather. They do a great job in their work, and numbers are increasing. And this has been an initiative of the Trump administration to increase enrollment numbers in law enforcement and also within the military. And we're seeing it bear fruit here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Happy to see that. We ought to be encouraging people to do this very important and essential function within our society. State police are a professional organization that do great work. I have a barracks not very far from my home. And these police officers are not just great troopers, they're great men. And they're involved in our community, men and women, involved in our community. They're coaches, they're Sunday school teachers. They're good people that are doing great work.
You also asked about our senior citizens. Secretary Kavulich was in, talked about accountability measures for investigations of elder abuse. And this is something that we've heard a lot about ever since the pandemic. What did you learn?
Yeah, unfortunately, elder abuse is far more rampant than many of us realize. And so I talked to the Secretary on Aging of what are the tools that they have to provide accountability for those individuals that are abusing our very vulnerable citizens. And we went through a little bit technical aspects of their investigations and what they can do as investigators, teaming up with local agencies and local law enforcement, and how we can improve those processes. Right now, once an individual passes away, the aging department's investigation ceases. And I just want to make sure that individuals that are abusing our elders are held to account. And so we're just pushing on that fact.
You also spoke with Secretary Brown, talking about keeping people in Pennsylvania.
You know, it's an interesting, on the one hand, he expressed how it's frustrating to see people leaving the Commonwealth. And I asked specifically, well, what can we do about that? And a lot of movement amongst people has to do with tax environment. Not everything, but a lot has to do with the tax environment. And one of my colleagues, Representative Brown, noted that Pennsylvania's tax environment is not healthy when you look at it from a macro standpoint, all the different ways that our constituents and we all get taxed. We have a habit in the Commonwealth of nickeling and diming individuals, whether it's through a gas tax, whether it's through fees, whether it's through the personal income tax, sales tax, all these different taxes, inheritance tax. We got to find a way to make doing business and living in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania easier. And relieving the tax burden of our constituents is a way where we can encourage people to come to Pennsylvania, to move here, but also to stay in the Commonwealth.
His suggestion also for businesses was to ensure that the CNI continue to be reduced. And that's something that Republicans, ironically, have been fighting for years, correct?
Yeah. In fact, when we actually did reduce the CNI tax, the corporate net income tax, it was my bill that passed through the House with broad bipartisan support. And then it ended up being a part of the fiscal code that year. And we started the process of reducing the corporate net income tax. It's good to see that we're getting results on that. There's more work to be done as it relates to taxes, whether it's on businesses or individuals. And we need to keep fighting that so we can see growth in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Look, the Trump administration is very focused on growing our economy, on development, on seeing us thrive economically. We need to take advantage of that. And if we don't start reforming some of the things that we have here in the Commonwealth, we're going to be left behind. And other states like Ohio and West Virginia are going to see the benefit. And Pennsylvania, yet again, is going to be left in the dust.
And taking a little bit closer to home, Secretary of Transportation, Secretary Carroll was in. You had spoken with him about an issue that you're having in your district. Tell us a little bit about Wildwood Road.
Yeah, Wildwood Road. So in my district, there's many roads that are slipping and there's slides on them, and it ends up just shutting down a road. And some of these roads are very critical arteries for our community. This one in particular is a road that connects to another road where there is a major hospital. It connects one major artery, one major road to another road where the hospital is. And if we don't get that fixed soon, there's going to be serious consequences. It's going to extend, it already is extending the time for individuals to get to the hospital. And every minute in those circumstances is critical. So I just wanted to make him aware of that and see if we can expedite the process of fixing that road and others within the district.
And what did you hear from him?
He said that he's going to look into it. So we're going to follow up with him to see if we can push this project ahead. Hopefully they understand the gravity of it. I will make sure that they do.
And finally, as we wrap up our budget hearings this week, is there anything that you heard, you know, throughout the past 3 weeks that you wanted to highlight?
Yeah, the appropriations process and these budget hearings are always a fascinating experience. You know, a lot of details, a lot of budgetary matters, getting into the weeds on things. But from a macro standpoint, what's concerning to me and what we really got to be focused on this cycle is getting our fiscal house in order. If we want to prevent cuts or tax increases in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, if we want to see prosperity and be able to cut taxes, we need to make sure that we are budgeting appropriately. And right now, the administration doesn't see it that way. Right now, they just want to spend. So we got to hold the line and make sure that something responsible comes out of this budget.
Now that the budget hearings are over, what's the next step in this process?
Yeah, so the next step is over the course of the next couple of months, there's going to be certain legislation introduced, and there's going to be negotiations happening as far as what is in this budget. The first thing that is usually agreed to amongst the leaders and the caucuses in the Senate and the House is the overall spend number. And this year, I think there's going to be a serious disagreement on what that spend number ought to be, just because of this fiscal cliff that we are heading towards. Hopefully, we can get it at a number that meets our revenue numbers, or is very close to the revenue that we are bringing in, which is about $48, $49 billion. So getting the budget down to those numbers without cutting the critical services is something that we can do within the legislature, and I'm hoping that we will accomplish.
All right, Representative, thanks for updating us past couple weeks on these budget hearings. For everyone at home, we've been talking about state issues. Next week, we're going to come a little closer to home as we talk to Representative Kale from the district about some district issues. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next week.